You know, I distinctly remember when my brother joined, we had the conversation, you're going to be fine. You'll get money for college. And it's not like we're going to war anytime soon. Yeah.
I'm Joe Seemantle, and this is Raven Conversations. And today I'm joined by somebody who's been on this podcast. I think you're the second most hosted, or you and Callie together have hosted this podcast the second most times. Laura Dutton, you've met her, you know her, you've probably watched her podcasts here. She's actually now in the hot seat, though. So, Laura, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, although it's a little weird without Callie.
I know, right? You guys are kind of a tag team on the podcast.
I know. So. I was like, hey, should we do this interview together? She's like, no, we'll each do our own this time.
Yeah, so before I get into the questions, Laura, we've known each other a very long time. I think when you came into the Washington Guard, you came from Indiana. I was a company commander, I think, in the 81st. You came into the 81st as well, both as Intel officers. And we always say Intel is a very small world. And we've kind of rose through the ranks together. And I think you got a nice shout out in my promotion speech as my battle buddy when I was the S3 at 341st and you were the XO. And always enjoyed working with you. And I'm glad you're able to come and sit and talk with us.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been a great career. And, you know, it is a small community. And even in the Guard, it's a small community. So we're going to cross paths, especially within our cohort of, you know, officers who kind of grew up in this period of time. Because we had a unique career lens.
Yeah.
You know, a lot happened during our careers that's really just kind of specific to us. And it kind of defined not only us as officers and as leaders, but also defined our careers. Like, I joined on March 19th, 2003, so shock and awe day. It wasn't planned that way. It makes, you know, it's an interesting story to tell. But looking back, it really defines so much of my career to think that, you know, when I joined the military was when we had first started OIF, and we were already in OEF, and those two conflicts have pretty much been a steady presence in our careers.
Yeah, and I think we joined within 6 months of each other. I was December of 2002, and you joined in March of 2003, so not even 6 months. And we've kind of always compared the fact that we both enlisted, we both moved into the officer world, and both ended up finding Intel. Intel was not your first job either, so.
Well, it was my first job enlisted, because I came on enlisted as a counterintel agent in 2003. But then, once again, I've had a really unique career in that almost all of my time has been active, but none of it has been active duty. It's all been active for the Guard. So when I came back trained from counterintel school, there was an AGR job opened up with the aviation battalion that was, it was essentially the aeromedical administrator. So I worked with the flight surgeon and did all of his paperwork and helped coordinate all the flight physicals for the state. So I came straight out of training into an ADOS job, into an AGR job, and never looked back from there. And had just a variety of careers between the admin job, and then I was a supply sergeant, and then I went to state OCS, so once again, Guard OCS, and I loved OCS. I learned so much. I had such a great class and a great opportunity there. So when I came out, you know, I got branch of choice. And as much as I loved the other ones, I was like, my heart's in Intel. I want to come back, and I want to go Intel.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I was able to commission and come back. Signals, intelligence, and electronic warfare.
Yeah, and you were Indiana Guard. That's how you started.
Yeah, started in the Indiana Guard in 2003.
Yeah, so kind of, talk about your experience coming in the Guard. How'd you learn about the Guard, first off?
So I learned about, my brother joined the Navy a few years before that. And, you know, I remember, you know, growing up, we didn't always have a lot. And when he graduated from training at Great Lakes, he was so proud to give me his debit card to go buy anything I wanted at the Navy, at the BX, they called it, because he had over $700 in his bank account. And for us, it was like, oh my God, that's the most money any of us have ever had at that point in our life. And, you know, and then he was getting an opportunity to travel, and he was going to go be a meteorologist with the Navy. And I was like, wait a minute, this is a lot of opportunities. And like I said, it was just more than we had ever seen and, like, realized was in our ability to get. And so that put the idea in my mind. And at the time, I was working at a pizza place, and one of the managers was in the, and he was actually PAO for the Indiana Guard. And he was like, you really need to consider the Guard. You're going to do great. This is a great career path, and you need to make this happen. And so he hooked me up with a recruiter. And at the time, I talked to an Army Reserve recruiter because I wanted to test my options. So I talked to an Army Reserve recruiter and one with the Navy, and the National Guard won out.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's, you're the second or third person I think we've talked to recently that's like, hey, I was working at fast food and I heard about the Guard and I was like, I'm just going to do it. Like, what, I mean, it's got to be scary when you're like, I know nothing about this. And now all of a sudden, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go full bore and join the Guard.
It was very scary. And like I said, my brother had already joined, which gave me a little confidence, but none of our family, you know, we were not from a military family. And we were in Indianapolis and not what you would consider a military city, despite Fort Ben Harrison being there. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't really know, like, didn't have a lot of experience with it, didn't know what we were getting into. And, you know, I distinctly remember when my brother joined, we had the conversation, you're going to be fine. You'll get money for college. And it's not like we're going to war anytime soon. Yeah, those were, I remember those words, because my brother was actually in training when the USS Cole was bombed. So his career, too, was like, you know, came in and thought, all right, we're in a time of peace, mm-hmm. and was immediately shifted focus from there.
Yeah. So like I mentioned when we first started, you're not new to the podcast. You've been on this, but not in this seat. You've been a guest host a number of times for different topics, too, Women's History Month. You also took the mantle of Pride Month, which both, I mean, those topics are near and dear to you as an individual. What led you to want to be a guest host for the podcast?
So it was giving a platform to tell some of the stories of the Guard, because as I've been reflecting, and when you hit 20 years, you know, you start getting your 20-year letter, you start getting looked at for retention. Like, that's a critical threshold in the military. And it will make you nostalgic. And you start to think back. And you start to think about the experiences and the changes you've seen and how everything has, you know, how those unique experiences have made you into who you are. And it was giving an opportunity to start telling some of those stories. Mm-hmm. Specifically in Pride Month, when we started talking about how Don't Ask, Don't Tell affected everyone. And we had a discussion where we talked about, you know, one of the things when you go into understand people and understand an organization, you have to be able to truly see people so that you can truly empathize with them and you can truly connect with them. And we got into the topic of discussion how Don't Ask, Don't Tell had forced a lot of us to not have the courage to truly see ourselves. And then we questioned, well, how has that affected how we've shown up? You know, are you able to truly empathize and to truly understand another person if you're not able to truly understand yourself? And that was such a huge conversation, and, you know, it got us all thinking, it got us all reflecting, and to get those moments where, you know, you get an opportunity to tell these stories, especially, you know, when we're literally coming from a legacy of don't ask, don't tell, and now we have an opportunity of, hey, it's time to tell. Mm-hmm. You know, let's tell these stories, let's tell how it impacted us, so we don't lose the importance of what we of what we've been through and the changes that we've made as an organization, because you know, a lot of these changes were hard fought, hard earned. Like when we interviewed Colonel Kammermeyer, like she put everything on the line to fight for that. And a lot, you know, sometimes when you get used to a situation, it becomes almost normal to the fact where you take it for granted. And it's important to remember that. That was fought for, that was well earned, and that is something that we still have stories to tell, we still have careers that we need to understand a little bit more that maybe in those early years we were afraid to.
Yeah, and I think just having traveled there with you, I saw the depth of how much research you did for that podcast. And part of that's being intel, right? We always look at multiple different sources when we're going in and painting a picture. What was some of the hardest parts of guest hosting here with us?
So one of the hardest things is understanding people's vulnerability and how much of their story they want to share on a very public platform. Especially when you go into, you know, when you look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because all of the people we interviewed were in that timeline. Mm-hmm. You know, they all came in that timeline. And so it all, there's a lot of that you've just been conditioned so long to not share. And so you want to give people an opportunity to tell their story, but you don't want to put them in a position where they feel pressured outside of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And also, you don't want to tell their story because it's everyone's own journey. It's everyone's own time. And, you know, throughout the journey, it's, you know, we're not writing it past tense. It's still being developed. You know, we're still understanding like who we are and how we fit into family, society, culture, and in the military. And so like not telling people how they're gonna tell their story and also not expecting people's story to be absolute. And one of the things when you put something in, you know, when you record it and you put it out there, it almost becomes absolute. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you wanna give people the flexibility to continue to grow.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because that's always been kind of my thought with this platform too, is it's a storytelling platform. It's not for me to tell the person's story for them. It's for that person to share what's going on in their life, what they've done, what led them to this point being in the Guard, and let them kind of do it. So I appreciate you taking that mantle and running with it, because I think the care that you and Callie gave, especially Women's History Month and Pride, I think was phenomenal. Because frankly, I think I came to you guys and said, this is not my forte. This is, you don't want to hear me talk. I think you guys did a fantastic job on that. So I applaud you for it.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And it was, you know, the feedback has just been phenomenal, especially the feedback, you know, once again, it's what are the stories that people told that directly connected mm-hmm. with the listener? And, you know, different times in your career, and especially in the military, there almost becomes a, you know, whether it's actual stated or just perceived, but there's a barrier to know your leaders sometimes. Yeah. So to like take that down and to share personal stories and to have those human experiences that people connected with, just nothing but positive feedback. So it's been a great experience.
Yeah. So what's kind of the future hold for you right now? I know you just finished up the EO course. What's going on in your world?
Yeah, the EO course was absolutely amazing. I learned so much, and I also was able to go in there and learn how much I still needed to learn, especially at 20 years. We all talk about, hey, I've got a growth mindset. You know, I read Simon Sinek. I'm gonna continue to grow. But you know, I always joke that you don't put this uniform on without part of you believing you're gonna change the world. And so we do all have that little strip of, you know, that A-type personality mm-hmm. that wants to come in, and we don't play to learn, we play to win.
Yeah.
And so to go into a school and say, I'm not here to show off how much I know. I am here to open my mind every single day. I'm here to learn something new. I'm here to change how I think. It was a really, it was a unique opportunity, and the coursework and the instructors and the class, the people that, this was a school that you have to want to go to. So everybody wanted to be there. Everybody wanted to learn. And, you know, I got to meet people from all over the U.S. and all components, reserves, Air Force, Guard. There were just a ton of us there. And it was unique that we were able to see how different and unique everyone was. But we could also, there was no one there we couldn't connect with. Mm-hmm. You know, there was something that connected us all, and aside from military service. You know, like one of the people that I went to school with, and she was from a small town in Ohio, ended up moving out, you know, across the world with active duty. We're all very, very different. We took very different life patterns. But then when we would sit and talk, like my growing up in Indiana, her growing up in Ohio, immediately, it was just that connection. And we were able to see that connection with people throughout the class. And it was really pretty amazing. So yeah. Great opportunity. I highly recommend, if that's something that, you know, you're interested in and passionate for, that we get more people through that school.
Yeah. What's coming up next?
So, you know, I'm on that threshold where, like I said, I've got my 20 years in. I have to figure out, you know, what is my next move and where do I see my career going in the Guard? Because I do still, like, I still have such a passion for developing people, understanding the organization, and also, like, continuing to grow with the organization. And so I still have that in me, and I still have that passion, and I just need to know, you know, where, how do I best filter that in? And also, there is the reality that what we do is hard, and it's hard on the body, it's hard on the family, it's hard on yourself, and so you do have to say, like, we have 20-year retirements for a reason. So, you know, when do I need to start looking at that? When do I need to make room for the next people to come in and take the leadership mantle? But, you know, it's still a little uncertain.
Yeah.
But I will say what is certain is, you know, the passion I have, and the just the ability I still want to serve. I just don't know what that looks like in the near future.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I've said, I've served you in a number of capacities. I always love serving with you. I think you're a fantastic leader, fantastic just soldier care person in general. So I do appreciate that about you. Hosting a podcast, maybe?
Is that your future too? Absolutely loved it. So, you know, get me and Callie back out here and we'll tell some more Guard stories. Because like I said, there are more stories that need to be told.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. So anything else you want to add, Laura?
I really appreciate being here. Appreciate this opportunity and everything you're doing, because you know, it's been a great opportunity.
I appreciate you, my friend.
All right, thanks so much.
If you liked the video, give it a like. If you want to know more, throw it in the comments and subscribe for future videos.